Hi guys, welcome to Step Parent World podcast. I'm your host Martin. Got a wonderful guest on today who I'm going to introduce in a minute. I'm quite excited about this one because I think this lady seems to have done an awful lot, and I've just been discussing off the recording with her. So I'm fascinated to have Ali on today. I'm going to let Ali tell you a little bit about her story, because I've written a few notes down here and there's so much that I haven't actually managed to write down. So I'm going to pass over to Ali and let her tell you roughly about her story. Hi, Ali. Welcome to Step Parent World.
I'm so excited to be here, Martin. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. I'm so excited about the opportunity just to talk about, you know, step family challenges. And it's such a blessing just to be pulled into more communities. So thank you for inviting me to yours.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Now, I've got you down as you're in Alberta in Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
That's correct. Lovely Canada. Yeah. I've always wanted to go.
Lovely, but cold right now.
Is it cold? Really? Cold and we've got a storm. So we're doing quite well. Yeah. So I'm going to allow you to tell us your story, Ali. We've spoken obviously off the recording, and I've gone back over the notes and the messages you sent me, and there's so much stuff you've done. So I think it's going to be easier if I let you, you know, say what you've done, your story as a stepmom. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You've really set a platform for me. So you said I've done so much, and looking back, I guess really I have. So I'm Ali Wilkes. I am, my business is called The Soulful Stepmom, and I'll explain how that's kind of evolved for me. Initially, I started, got certification actually with Jenna Korf, same thing as you, for step family coaching. And then I kind of just slowly developed. So I started working with stepmoms. And eventually moved into working with step couples. So I took over, Susan Wisdom wrote a book called Step Coupling. And that's essentially a book about how current dynamics have an impact on the success of the step couple. So I took over her business. And then, like I said, I've just naturally evolved. And you and I spoke briefly about why I'm doing what I'm doing. And really, I call it my passion became my purpose. So my passion came from my own painful experiences in my own stepfamily. So I mentioned that my husband and I have been together for 18 years. I mean, we've only been married 14, but things were very, very difficult for me. And 18 years ago, there wasn't a lot of information. So I kind of, because of my own pain, and I think that's very common for both you, your community, your niche, and my niche, is that you start looking for help and answers for your problems. And I did, and I didn't find a lot of information out there about step family life until I started working with Jenna. And that was massively helpful for my own personal challenges. And so my process just eventually evolved from my own pain. And so the most painful part of my stepfamily life, there had been lots of little pieces along the way that I felt, you know, rejected by my stepkids, and I felt kind of abandoned by my husband. And that just created a huge amount of resentment for me. And so I really, now resentment is actually one of the key areas that I focus my business in. And I'm finding resentment is a very huge theme and a very common theme for lots of people in the blend. So I've actually gone beyond step family coaching, and I call myself a successful step family strategist, because I look at the strategies, but I do it through, I say soulful. I use my, my intuitive gifts and my spiritual connections with, you know, source. Some people call it God, some people call it your higher self, but I'm doing a lot of personal work, and I blend that into the work that I do. So, short and sweet, that's what I do. I also have a master's degree in family studies, and I've worked in the area of family crisis for about 25 years. So I worked in child and family services, and also did a lot of teaching and training with foster families and adoptive families. So I've got a huge amount of information that really I can draw from to do the work that I'm doing with stepmoms.
Why do, because again, we was talking off air about we've both been step parents, and I've been a step dad for 20 years and you're stepmom for 18 years. Why do you think it's now quite, I don't know if popular is the right word, but why do you think now it's getting bigger and it's getting more, you know, obviously Jenna did this fantastic course that I absolutely loved. I loved the course. I mean, Jenna's course turned a lot of my thinking around. Why do you think it's so big now? Is it just because more families are becoming step families?
I absolutely. I mean, I don't know what the statistics are in terms of step families now. I mean, I have it somewhere in one of my books. I wrote it down. But in terms of, you know, the divorce rate is 50% roughly for first time marriages, but it can be up to 65% for second time marriages and or second time, you know, committed relationships, because sometimes you don't marry the second time round, or you perhaps weren't married the first time round. But absolutely, the numbers are getting more and more, like step families are becoming more common. And so our experiences and our challenges are very unique compared to first time or nuclear families, or first time marriages, I should say. And in terms of the popularity, I think just because people are starting to realize how stinking difficult it is to be successful. I mean, stats say, you know, the first 7 years, I think it's Patricia Paper now in her research, but she's pulled in research, has said that the first 7 years of a blended family are really the hardest. And I would even claim that, you know, that's setting people up for false misconceptions about, oh, well, I should be here by now, but I'm not. Because, you know, the first few years of my step family, it was awkward and uncomfortable. And I felt like an outsider in my own home, but it didn't really start hitting the fan, so to speak, until about year 10 for us. So it took us actually longer to feel like a bonded, cohesive, connected unit. But it took a massive crisis in our step family for us to get over that hurdle.
I think as well, I think a lot of what you're saying about that 7 year, because I read that book, it's a fantastic book. And I think I've the 20 year of being a stepdad, when I met the children, they were 7 and 10. Mm-hmm. The relationship I'm in now, the children are teenagers, and it's a huge difference between what age the children actually are. Huge difference. And I never really realized that until probably about the last 12 months. And I think it's a really big thing of when you enter a step family, what age the children actually are has a massive effect. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And all these expectations that people have about, yeah, everything will be fine. And the kids are like me, and the parents are like me, and everything's going to be absolutely perfect. The age of the kids has a really huge effect. And I've researched this quite a lot recently.
Yeah.
Did you find the age of the children had a big effect on when you entered?
So here's something interesting too, is again, I'm a kind of a research nerd myself. And so when I met my husband, his boys were 18 and 16. And there was a bit of an age gap between them and my stepdaughter. She was 11 when I met her. And there's lots of research to support that stepmoms have a unique challenge. And not to say stepdads do not, absolutely. There's lots of things. You and I need to have a conversation about that, right? Because there's similarities in stepmom and stepdad feelings and experiences, but there's lots of differences. And there's lots of research that backs up what I'm about to say about, you know, stepmoms and girls, especially at a particular age, makes that mix a little bit more challenging. And in my case, that proved to be true. And it was really funny because I had said to myself, I'm never going to date a police officer. I'm never going to date a divorced dad. And if I date a divorced dad, I'm not going to date a divorced dad that has a preteen daughter. Because I knew all of that with my background of, you know, psychology undergrad degree and a master's degree in family studies. And then the work that I was doing in children's services, child protection, is that, and I know for myself, that time was very difficult in terms of my identity and hormones and all sorts of stuff. So that's a really challenging time when a family is intact, you know, that development, that, you know, adolescence. But then you add in the mix a stepmom who's moving in and kind of taken over, which I, you know, thought I was doing the right thing. But it caused a lot of friction between me and my stepdaughter. And thankfully, again, after this massive crisis that we had had, not even about 4 years ago, that crisis actually transformed and alchemized our relationship into something magnificent. And really, truly, I call myself the soulful stepmom. And I didn't use my soulful practices of meditation, of affirmations, of self-work and inner work. And, you know, some people call it shadow work or connecting to spirit. I didn't use it then, but I wish I had. So that's also what I teach, is how do you use your own self-empowerment, your own connection to, you know, like I said, God or your higher source or higher being, and how you can use that in your stepfamily struggles currently.
You know, it's fascinating. Your story sounds really familiar to mine, because when I met the partner that I'm with now, I actually said to myself, I don't want to have another partner that has children, or if I do, they have to have left the home. I can't go through what I went through before. It was a long 20 years. It was fantastic. I had loads of fantastic memories, lots and lots of positive things with my stepdaughters. It was amazing. I loved it. But I always said to myself, right, Martin, you're getting old enough now where you don't want to be parenting children anymore. And it'd be so nice to meet someone that I can step into a relationship without actually stepping into a potential parenting role. But I met my current partner, I fell in love with her, and then it took about 4 or 5 months to realize she had children, even though I knew she had children. But you kind of go, maybe my expectations were too high. But, you know, we've got through and I think it's something you almost feel you've got to do if you love that person enough. It's one of the things I've pushed a lot for recently when I speak to people, and I say, if you love your partner enough, you will find a way to make the relationship work with the children, whether it be the stepchildren, your own children, you find a way.
So for me, one of the pieces that I focus on when I do work with couples, so I actually run retreats for stepmoms and step couples, where it's a kind of a weekend getaway with intensive focus on learning and practicing. And one of the things that was said in the book by Susan Wisdom on step coupling is that if you are a solid team, and you've got good communication and you're open and you're vulnerable with each other and all of those important concepts, that if you as a solid team won't even allow the noise and the drama of the ex or the stepkids to infiltrate that relationship. So I 100% agree with that piece, that it is you a solid team. So I call, when I work with couples, I call them the unstoppable team. Because if we think about this, Martin, right, we look at all the extra layers of stressors that stepfamilies have to deal with, you know, court and child, I'm not sure what they called it in the UK, but child support, you know, families back and forth, you know, different parenting styles between the homes. And a whole host of other things. Finances is a big piece. You know, if you are able, like you said, to navigate that as a couple, those extra layers, like, you can be unstoppable. And then, you know, down the road, some of those other things that come in and cause stress in your relationship, you've got so much experience under your belt of navigating conflict. It's perfect. So that actually ties into one of the talks that I'm doing here shortly. But go ahead. I think you might have another question.
Well, I mean, for me, I'm a massive believer in change. And again, I did a podcast very recently called Vent or Change.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
I go on these support groups and you hear a lot of people venting. And people vent for years, I think. They vent and vent and vent and vent, but they never change. So they keep venting. One of the things recently has happened for me is, going back to your resentment, sometimes you don't know you have resentment, and I didn't think I did, and I did. And what it led to was, I was looking at the children thinking, this is such hard work, et cetera, et cetera. This is almost too much. Do I want to do this? Do I want to carry on doing this? I really love this partner. But then I had a light bulb moment. I thought, actually, do you know what? I think this is actually resentment towards my partner. So maybe I need to tackle what's going on between me and my partner first. And then when I sort the resentment out that I have for my partner, it undoes other things. It starts undoing things. And you start thinking, actually, do you know what? Now I've got my partner on side with me. This is a lot easier. This is so much easier to do. Did you ever find, for me, the resentment built without me even knowing it? And then suddenly it hit me. Have you ever come across that?
Oh, well, like I said, that was actually the real reason why I took a deep dive into becoming a step family coach, is my own personal resentment. Mm. And then I started, like I said, seeing a common theme about resentment. I hate my kids so much. I hate saying that I hate her, but I hate her. And, you know, just a lot of shame and guilt. And I wrote an article about how not to hate your stepkid, which just exploded. And that led me to creating what I'm currently starting and launching in the next week on the 22nd, is a 10-week, it's a signature program. It's called the Peaceful Stepmom Roadmap. And it's a 10-week program with 10 themes of working through releasing your resentment, and how do you move from resentment to peace and calm and joy. Because what I fundamentally see with resentment, and there's actually a quote, some say it's Buddha, some say not Mahatma Gandhi, but I was thinking of Nelson Mandela, but it's resentment is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. And that's so true, because the resentment that you are carrying, it's a burden, and it robs you of peace. It robs you of joy. It robs you of your core essence of who you are. And you're the only one who's hurt by that. You're carrying this weight, and you're constantly reliving this scene or this incident or this situation over and over and over again. And it just kind of becomes a stinky pile of layers of crap.
Yeah.
And it's so that's why I designed this program, because I had heard about the resentment. I had had my own experience of resentment, but I came around on the other side of resentment. And you know what? Sounds crazy, Mart, but this is my spiritual side talking, that the hardest times of my step family have really been a gift for me, because it has transformed me and created miracles in areas that I never thought possible. Yeah. But here's another secret. What I've also learned about step family life is your challenges are actually wounds from the past that show up in step family life. My personal experiences from the past, rejection was a huge issue for me, and abandonment was also a huge issue for me. My parents didn't abandon me. There's other areas that I felt abandoned and rejected, and that were core wounds for me, but nothing like the step family to show you where you were holding those wounds, man. Holy cow. Like that, seriously. And if you have self-esteem issues, nothing like a step family to start shining the light on. You got to get your poop in a group. Sorry, Martin, I'm really trying to be.
No, you go for it. No, that's fine.
I'm kind of a little bit of a potty mouth, but that's the real me.
That's
but
fine.
Seriously, nothing like a step family to shine focus on where you are hurting and wounded and need to work on your stuff. It's really It's perfect, honestly.
Yeah, it's a really good point, because I think purely from my own experience and from since becoming a coach, my self-development has been huge. And I've analyzed myself over and over and over again. And one of the biggest things I've learned is a lot of issues that I had and will probably continue to have, you have to not ignore them. You have to kind of start picking at them. Oh, yeah. You have to start exploring them. And I think, going back to what I said before, this is why people vent, because they don't want to start picking at what they're venting about. Because as soon as you start picking about it, you might have to look at yourself and go, I've actually made mistakes here. I need to change things. I need to change how I am. I need to change how I see things, how I treat people. And I might have to actually put my hands up and say, yeah, I've messed up here. I've made mistakes here. But it's one of the biggest things I've done, hold my hands up and say, I've been so wrong in so many situations, and none of us are perfect. Oh. And step parenting is a minefield, a complete minefield. And it will continue to be a minefield even when the children move out or whatever else happens in your life. Oh. It's going to carry on. So you need to get at peace with yourself and at peace with your mind and at peace with your thoughts. And I've recently done this, and it's so much nicer. It's so nice to have your mind a bit clear, and you'll see a huge difference with your relationship with your partner as well. So it's huge. It's massive. But you have to change the vent. You've got to change it, because angry venting people will be angry and venting for the next month and the next month and the next month.
For sure. Because when you're angry, so here's where I look at venting as an opportunity. Mm. And also, so one of the other things that I'm running, so precursor to my 10-week stepmom roadmap, Peaceful Stepmom Roadmap, is I have a free talk on 3 secrets for turning conflict into sacred connection with your partner.
Yeah.
So going with what you said about venting, I think venting actually serves a purpose. But there is kind of a way to do your venting. Venting gets rid of the negativity and helps you process and dumps it. But you need to have a supportive environment where that venting is okay. Now you've kind of dissipated the negativity and then anger. What are you going to do to elevate yourself, to level up, so that you can go back to your partner and your stepkids or your own kids with some free, like you've dumped the negativity, but you've got to move and transform that negativity into something positive and supporting. So dump your crap, but then free yourself and then move towards a better place instead of letting your negativity become a cesspool of vortex of negativity. Because you can, like you said, you can run with that negativity, and you're going to find evidence anywhere you look for negativity to feed that negativity. But if you can transform it and look at it as an opportunity to level up and start looking for the positive pieces. And so gratitude is actually one of the things that I work with and is in addition to my Peaceful Stepmom Roadmap. Gratitude is transformative. It not only transforms your energy as it moves through your body, it softens your head, your heart space, but it actually rewires your brain. And so, Martin, you and I can have a completely different discussion on rewiring your brain.
Yeah.
That's another
podcast, Ali. It's another podcast in the making. but I think it's great. I think you're completely right. I think we all have to change. Everyone changes with ages. People change through relationships. You can't get stuck. As soon as you get stuck, things like you said, it's like a cesspit. It just goes round. It's like being on a gerbil wheel. It just goes round and round and round and round. As soon as you start shifting your mindset a little bit, so many doors open, and they often open to good things as well. And it's getting people to say, stop, change how you're thinking, change how you feel, see people in a different way, see people in a different light. And probably one of the biggest things I've learned probably over the last 6-7 months is what you've talked about, the resentment. And I never knew I had it. I didn't know I had it. But the more I look at it now, the more I've researched it, and I've listened to you today as well, I had quite a lot, to be fair. And if I'm honest, it consumed me a little bit. But now it's like a weight gets lifted off your shoulders. Once you actually establish that you've got this resentment, you can start unpacking it, and you can start putting it into places where you can manage it, and you can actually get rid of it as well. It's such a good feeling. It's a really good feeling.
Well, like I said, I've got 10 weeks where I reveal 10 different ways that you transform that resentment and soften it up. And I use the word alchemize, and yeah, you can turn resentment in an opportunity for growth. The same thing with conflict with your partner. And conflict, if you avoid conflict because either you're afraid of it, or and then it leads to avoidance, and then you're kind of like Gerber wheel, and it gets worse and worse and worse and avoid and worse. But all of these difficulties can literally be transformed into something that empowers you, that brings you back to your core, sacred, who you are, and connects you to your partner. Like my husband and I had obviously conflict. And I wish I had had my spiritual connection back then. It's come online more in the last two and a half, three years. But really, if I had had that perception back then of like, what is this conflict teaching me? How can I learn and grow from it? It's hard as heck. Like you said, resentment sneaks up on you. Have you ever heard, I'm sure you heard of it, but that whole frog in boiling water.
Go on.
Analogy. Have you heard that one?
No.
So basically you put a frog in already boiling water and they'll jump out, right? Because obviously it's going to burn them. But if you put a frog into a pot and slowly turn up the heat, they don't realize that they're getting burned.
Mm. Yeah.
Because slowly the heat has been turned up and they get used to it and used to it. That's where, like you said, same thing with me. It's like, holy crap. And like for me, the resentment literally had an impact on my mental health.
Yeah, I agree.
Physical health, insomnia, anxiety,
depression. All of those.
Just, I was not, and I try to hide it from my kids, Martin, my bio kids who were quite young at the time. I did a really bad job. And my daughter, my eldest daughter in particular, had migraines every time we had a family gathering. So it does. Yeah. As much as I tried to protect my kids, I didn't. I couldn't. I kept it away from them. They're intuitive. They're smart. They sense. I mean, the tension was brutal. It literally could cut it with a knife. Mm. Like it was palpable. Yeah.
Oh, bless her. Yeah, the kids pick up on it 100%. I mean, my son, he doesn't live with me. But I'm pretty sure if he lived with me, he would have picked up on a lot more, because I don't think I was the person that I was when I first met my partner. And I think over time you find yourself again. You never lose. Well, I've never lost myself, but you do find yourself again. But it's fascinating to hear you listen or listen to you about it. And what I like about you, Ali, is that you're actually creating stuff to help people with stuff that you've been through. And for me, that's probably the most powerful thing I think people can do. The fact that you can take something you've been through, turn it into something that can help other people. I think it's fantastic. I know you're pushed for time.
Yeah.
Do you just want to run through what you're doing, these three secrets, when it is, how people can click on it, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I can send you the links, obviously, because this is kind of a recorded podcast. Okay. I have registration. I've just got the tickets through. Over here we have Eventbrite, and so it's a free ticket, and I'm running it on Monday evening. So that would be pretty early in the morning, probably for UK folks. So I am going to record it. So if anybody's interested in that, but basically my three secrets around conflict is it's really about rewiring. So I call it, you can rewrite your conflict pre-program. So when I say conflict pre-program, you know, we were witnesses in our own families growing up, watching our own parents, you know, fight and have conflict, and how they managed it, how they did it, and were their repairs and how they did the repairs. Like that's our pre-programming, and we can rewrite our pre-programming. The other thing I talk about is you can handle conflict in a productive way with positive outcomes. And dealing with conflict positively does not have to be hard or scary. And so in my talk that I will be doing on Monday night, I walk through, you know, ways that you can relook at conflict as an opportunity for sacred connection. Because if you have a roadmap of how to have scary conversations that you've been avoiding out of fear, that if you can turn that in an opportunity, and like I said, I have a roadmap that I walk people through my other couples training. And it literally, if you feel that you've got a plan, it feels much more safe to have a hard conversation. Plus, I also walk through what's called as conflict navigation. So when you're not in conflict, how do you and your partner have conflict? What do you need in that moment? And then a plan of how to deal with it if all of a sudden you kind of get emotionally overwhelmed and you kind of flip your lid and So I have that as a plan. But again, conflict for me and avoidance of conflict leads to resentment. And that's why, again, I pull from this three secrets to my 10-week coaching program for stepmoms.
Wonderful. Yeah, if I was a stepmom, I would do it, Ali, most definitely.
Oh, perfect. Thanks, Martin. And maybe I'll have to open it up and have a peaceful step dad roadmap too.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. So how do they get, have you got a website or anything with links on this?
I do. People can, I've got a Calendly link for people just to talk to me. It's a complimentary hour-long strategy session. So I can send that over to you. I can be found on Facebook at The Soulful Stepmom. I have a free community for stepmoms as well. And so that's the Soulful Stepmom community where, you know, we talk about all the woo things, as they call it, crystals and essential oils and meditations and affirmations and oracle cards. And that's kind of my gig and how I tune into spirit. And I also have a Successful Step Coupling, which is another Facebook page. I'm on Instagram and all that other stuff. But my website is www.stepcoupling.com.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, my gosh.
I absolutely enjoyed talking to you. I could talk to you for another hour easily.
I know. Let's revisit another podcast episode keep chatting. Right. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
You as well. And so Ali's put links on there, guys. Definitely go and visit it. I love what Ali does. I'm fascinated to hear about how it develops. Keep listening to Step Parent World, guys. Thank you so much for watching this podcast. I hope you've learned a lot from it. I know I definitely have. Keep listening. There's a lot of podcasts coming up. I'm going to be covering so many different topics over the next few weeks. And if there's any stepdads listening, please contact me, because this is going to be a new thing for me that I'm going to be sort of researching and delving into. So stepdads, it's time to talk. Come on, guys. Thanks for listening, guys, and listen out for next podcast.